What up? Rob Evil here. On this episode of KEVL, we have something different for you. A reggae-style band with metal influence. Fear and Loathing is out of Salt Lake City, Utah. They've been together for about 4 to 5 years, been doing their thing, grew up listening to metal and all kinds of other influences, as well as going through music school. So this was a very interesting time. So let's get out the shovels, dig up what's underground with Fear and Loathing. Yo, what up? Rob Evil, KEVL. I got the band Fear and Loathing here. Where are you guys from, man?
We are from right here in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Go ahead and let me know who you are and what you do in your band.
Yeah, man.
I am Bradshaw, and I do lead vocals and guitar.
And then I am Canyon Macy. I play the drums in the band. And then we've got
Bryce Beasley playing the bass.
Nice. And what style band are you? Because I thought you were a fucking metal band.
Some people get confused because of our name, but we're a mesh. We like to think we're a mesh of genres. Yes. We like to say rock, reggae, stoner, metal, reggae.
Psychedelic jam, a little bit of heaviness in there, a little punk.
All the fun stuff.
Yeah. So it's a fusion for sure. That's for sure.
Nice, nice. We're going to play some tracks during this episode. That's just something I do with every fucking band because,
nice, man.
You know, a lot of bands can't afford to throw out the money to throw it up on Spotify or something.
Yeah.
And one of the rules of Spotify to do my original idea was they only would get a 30-second fucking track to listen to. And you can't have a goddamn radio show and get 30 seconds of music.
No way, man. Yeah, no way.
That's the thing.
So tell me how you guys came out to be what you are right now.
Well, we like all started in a little music program, basically. That's kind of how we all met. And then
so you say music program, like a school program?
Yeah, so my parents actually are both drum teachers. And then they did full-time. Their business is called Groove Doctors. And years ago, they partnered up with a local guitar teacher who runs a place called On Track Music. And basically, they decided they wanted to kind of merge their businesses and start a jam program and start a just teaching school for anybody, any style, rock, you know, hard rock. Mostly we focused on rock, but anybody wanted to learn anything, we can teach it. But we kind of all just started out just kind of by taking private lessons and playing in different bands in this program, and we kind of just all met each other, and one day we'd all been through the program, we'd all exited the program, and we'd all been playing kind of some local stuff just here or there, and then me and Canyon over here were just hanging out at our studio just messing around, and we were like, you know what, we should start a project, man. Like, we should start a project. We haven't done any, because we'd always played in bands with other people, but we'd never really started something that we wanted to do, and that was all 100% like, this is, we're going to do what the hell we want to do. We're not going to, you know, say, you know, oh, let's go by the, you know, it was a equal band. And then I knew Bryce from a band that I played with previously, and we'd kind of fizzled out a little bit, and we're just looking for a good bass player or guitar player because he and I play both. And I just called him and I was like, hey, we're looking for an awesome bass player.
So Bryce, did you do the school shit too?
Yeah, I was part of it. I was a little younger than they were.
God damn, you motherfucker. See, I'm self-taught, man, so now I'm jealous. I'm with people that know their shit.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd say that, at least for myself personally, but yeah. It was a cool thing to start out with, like being young, because you got to play these shows when you were like 15, you know. We all met a ton of people who make music, and you know, that's how we all formed eventually as well. But yeah, we all took that program, played shows, learned, you know, the worst covers of all time.
So let's start with you, Bryce. What was your worst and your least favorite cover to play?
Oh, fuck.
There's so many.
Can we curse?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is this definitely fucking explicit. If not, I would be fucked with no loot. All
right. Worst cover, man. Oh, God. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, you know, when it comes down to a couple, like, preteen people picking covers. So a lot of, like, 80s stuff, a lot of, like, you know, nothing on like Def Leppard or any of those type of bands, but like big hair band stuff was never my favorite. Playing like Photograph by
So how old are you?
I'm 22 now.
So you're more the 90s era.
Yeah, I mean like very tail end of the 90s. I was born in 98, so I'm more of a 2000s baby. But yeah, so like, you know, played a lot of that stuff too, you know, like Paramore and all those 2000s jams.
So you'd rather play that over like Twisted Sister or Quiet Riot?
Oh God, that's funny that you say that, because I know all of us in separate bands played We're Not Gonna Take It
multiple times. Just
and what's funny is I grew up that was one of my first metal albums ever that I bought, but I've never played the fucking song.
I mean, back in the day when I was learning it, you know, that little solo and stuff, I was like, this is pretty badass. But looking back, I'm like, oh man.
Whoa, that's a good song for the drummers, because it's all the big cowbell in there, so everyone's right, always right. Great.
You get all them guys that say more cowbell, so you just start hitting it, and if you start playing that song, then people's gonna be like, what the fuck are they doing? So what would be your worst song?
Well, first off, I like that song because the cowbell was a good time, but it does get old playing songs like that. But the one I'm picturing is like, not necessarily hearing it or playing it, but the, what is that, Island in the Sun song?
Oh,
it's like,
no.
Or some Weezer, like Pork and Beans. Like, I just, respect to the Weezer and all, but like, fuck, I can't play that song too many times.
So you're not like having your sweater undone all the time and shit? That just ain't appealing to you?
Yeah, it's like, it's, you know, I'd rather do like when we would cover, like, I don't know if we did Red Barchetta or if I just learned but we did Red Barchetta. No, okay, and that was like fucking awesome.
Hell yeah. And what about you? What was your worst shit?
Man. God, there's so many. Honestly, you know, when you play for like 17 years, there's just so many. But I think one specifically that stands out for me was... no, that was pretty bad. We were doing... it was like a themed concert. So it was like an 80s, crazy 80s. So it was, you know, all the student bands would pick 80s songs. And it was fun. It was
right,
a blast.
Right.
But we picked... The Used does a cover of Burning Down the House, and we picked we picked the cover version, and it just failed so bad. Like, I remember being on stage and like all the whole band was like, why are we playing this? This like, sucks.
Just had your flop moment, and you're like, God, I want to go home and just... I just want to go home.
I just want to die.
I want to grab my goddamn game controller and just jump on Call of Duty and kill people right now.
Ready. Definitely, definitely.
Take me back to Modern Warfare 2.
So how did you come up with the name?
Oh, well, that's just a good homage to Sir Hunter S. Thompson, of the, you know, author of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Okay, I had a feeling that might have been leaning towards it. I've seen the flick a few times, so I'm like, maybe.
That movie and like...
But my roommate also, who I live with, he's a good buddy of ours, you know, friend of the band. I live with him right now, and he's a good disc golf buddy. But he kind of like introduced us to a lot of that stuff. And but yeah.
Yeah, he was like, you guys have never heard of Fear and Loathing?
Yeah, so he kind of introduced us to the novel and the book. And then we were just kind of bumming around one day thinking of names. And you know, just we had a million names that were like, this sounds too shitty, this sounds corny, this sounds too... And I was just like, what about Fear and Loathing? And everyone was kind of just like, that sounds kind of badass. And you don't really know what you're getting. You know, like you said, like...
Yeah, I thought you were a metal band.
Right, it could be that. It could be that. And it's just like, you know, a little bit of the psychedelic trippiness of that movie, you know, or just a couple of weird guys. And then also it's just like the fear and loathing kind of has to do with like how you look at what's going on right now, just in the world. Like, everybody's kind of got a little bit of a fear or loathing for, you know,
one another,
what's going on right now,
or whatever.
I think I'm. I fear and I loathe.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do both. I like. I want to fear, but I'm gonna loathe that fear at the same time.
Exactly, man. So, yeah. T, you know what we're talking about.
So, how many years you've been around?
This group.
I think like the end of this year will be 5. I think.
Yeah.
We've been only playing for like 4 years, but I think we've started hanging and jamming for like 5.
Yeah.
But I think when we started playing, because we took like a year to write our first EP, just because we just kind of had the idea of like, we want to get some music out, you know. Well, obviously, every band needs to play some covers. You know, when you first start, like, you got to play some covers.
I think even country bands.
Oh, exactly. Oh, of course.
And that's a weird thing. Country bands don't realize a metal band goes in. You ain't making no money. You're going to make money off your CD, your T-shirt, your merchandise.
Yeah. Or
a country band's going to walk in. They're going to be like, I want $300 a night, and they're going to get it. Why? Because they're playing the top 40 country, and that's what the club is expecting.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Metal bands are going to team together, and they're going to say, well, I'm going to bring 2 other bands in, and that's going to fill up a good portion of your club just off bands alone.
Right.
And so, you know, charge $5 a head,
and
we're
going to
sell our merch. And country bands don't understand how rough metal or rock style bands really have it. I think we're starting to get in a day and age now where you could go in and be like, well, we're going to come, we're going to bring so many bands, but we want this much for the night.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you guys experienced that yet? Of absolutely just straight getting paid or just getting fucked over?
Both. Yeah, both.
Talking to me, girl, I don't know why you can't see. just grind.
We've had shows where, like, we've been told we were going to get paid up front, and then as soon as the show's over, we're like, hey, where's the money? And they're like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean, money? You're getting nobody paying you.
It's funny. It's the ones you think they're gonna pay you, and you end up getting dick, and then the ones where you're like, oh, we're not going to make shit from this, and they end up at the end of the night bringing you, like, a couple hundred bucks.
Exactly. So. A Balance of Power had the same story where they were in Texas, and they were on a tour, and they just had a shitty time. They had a few gigs, no pay, no nothing. They were ready to just come home, walk into a club that they thought this was like some country podunk kind of place. And right when they open the doors, there's murals, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, all the metal heroes.
That's awesome.
From that moment on, they had a great time. But you'll have to check out the episode to hear what happened, because the story that goes along with that is just like completely unfucking real. And that's why I started the podcast, because shit like this happens to small bands.
Yeah.
Have you guys had the thrill of being on the road yourselves yet?
We've been on the road one time, and it was still in state. So we haven't played out of state yet. But we did drive. It was about 5 hours to Monticello, Utah. And that was pretty fucking awesome, to be honest, because they were paying us, I think it was like, what, $300 and a free hotel room for two nights.
Just gonna hang out down in southern Utah.
And so we just had a blast.
So did you go down and do covers, or was it all original material?
It was both. Yeah, I think it was like a 1.5 hour show. So it was like we had to kind of,
you had to stretch your time, some for stuff sure, in right, there, right. You know?
Yeah, I had to pee really bad. funny story on that one. I had to pee so bad right before we went on stage. I'd been drinking and stuff, and
That's my bad. I'm so sorry. I was like, we gotta go.
And so we went on stage, and like halfway through our set, I was just dying. It's like, I gotta go. I had to step off.
So you're
stage.
Up there doing your dance and doing your thing, and everybody's like, "Fuck, he's great entertainer," and they don't realize that you're about to drain down your goddamn leg. Yeah.
Exactly. And then they're like, "Why the hell is there just now a drummer and a guitar player doing a shitty Sublime cover with no bass?"
Yeah, I kind of left him out to dry. I had to go pee, but it worked out.
Now we make it a strict plan to piss before we hit the stage.
Yeah, I've had incidences, and I've had them while being on stage. All of a sudden, it hits bladder. Oh my God, no! Look at the clock, and it's like, holy shit, we still got 30 minutes before we can even take a break.
Right. That's rough, man. When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Right, yeah.
Especially when you're playing and you're trying to like jump around and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, do you find yourselves to be entertaining? Are you a lot of movement on stage, or are you what we call a cardboard cutout?
I would say we strive to be a movement
like
band.
Animated, and I feel like it's always gotten better each show too. Like,
The first couple of shows, we're a little nervous, and playing our first originals for the family and friends, we're like, oh, I hope we don't sound like complete shit. Because, they'll always tell you sound good, but like,
You
never know.
You got that one cousin that's like, dude, you guys sound like complete shit. We'll be right back.
watch it go down until you know no one's gonna make a sound. Because one thing, we like the style of a tread wearing man, they call them Rastas. Ain't got no money, ain't got no life. Listen to me, man, use words, we gon' fight and bring one change. Talking about one change. Ain't got no life. Listen to me, man. Use your words. We gon' fight and bring one change. One change. One change. Let the lover take a hold. I got Bruce Rock, Reggae, and a gun in my soul. I'm gonna take it down to the country, smoking down. Punch it on one that's the door to the sound. We got a rebel in this world, the white devil to control. He's bombing, he's banning, he's building the wall.
I always tell my family and friends, because they are, oh, you're so good. Well, I got a gig coming up. And there's always that excuse, you know. Oh, well, I can't afford it. Hey, I'll buy your drinks. Oh, well, I can't afford the door. I'll cover the door. I can't get there. I'll come get you. So now you got your fucking ride, your door, your drinks,
your beer
every fucking reason for you to come and watch me play, but you're still telling me no. And you think I'm so goddamn good. No.
Yep.
The people that always, you can always say, rely on, are the people that don't fucking know you.
Exactly. It's
the ones that are in the stage and their feet are tapping.
Yeah, or
their fucking heads are banging or whatever.
Or they scream when you play a cool solo. You're like, they're into it.
Right, right. Them are the people that you know you got some fucking talent. For the past 10 years, I've never relied on friends and family because I expect them motherfuckers to tell me I'm good.
Right.
Because if not, guess what? You ain't my goddamn friend.
Right. If that's one piece of advice I could give to any starting out band, is get somebody you don't know to come to your show, because they will tell you how good you guys are or not. And they'll tell you if you need to practice. You know, maybe not word for word, but you can fucking see when you're playing up there if they're like, oh, had to leave early, sorry, you know, or we were playing a show at Camp Williams. It was a horrible show.
At the barracks, like the barracks where all the housing and shit is?
I've changed
the ballast for the lights in that shit. I know where you're talking about.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So how did you land this gig?
So I have a weird cousin connection she's like my quote-unquote cousin, but I've seen her like one time in my life, and just through Facebook, she was like, hey, I know you're in a band, and we're just looking for a band, and she was like, it's free, but it's like there's veterans there, and I was like, you know, cool, whatever. We'll just go play a nice little summer show, whatever, outdoors. And first of all, there was nobody paying attention to us the whole show. It was like our family. It was like my mom and dad, his mom and dad, his mom and dad, and then our girlfriends.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then the whole rest of the crew, everyone was doing stuff. And so what happened with the the guy that came
so,
over?
So, yeah, I was just playing bass, you know, we're going through our songs. This guy's kind of standing, mid-song, he's like standing next to the stage trying to talk to me, and I'm kind of like, what the fuck? Like, we're playing, we wrap up the song, and I go over to him, and he's like, we need to do the announcements for, like, this car show they're doing, because they're doing all sorts of different things for, what even was it?
I have no idea. It was like,
kind of the normal, we're having an event, we want you to announce our shit. Be our bitch for a minute. Exactly.
Pretty much.
But anyways, like, he comes up to me, we're mid-set, nobody's told us this is happening, and he's like, you guys need to stop playing for, like, 30 minutes, because, you know, we need to do, like, the awards. And I think this is somebody that's, like, setting up the, you know, the whole thing. I'm like, okay, whatever. We'll stop for a minute. And I find out it's the guy that won the car show. We were just too loud.
We were just, because he wanted to hear his name called, yeah, that he won the car.
He wanted everyone to know that
what a fucking car dick. Won.
Definitely never had that happen at any other show. But, yeah, just some random guy was like, all right.
So did they shut down your entire show after that?
They let us play, but like they had one more band after, so we had to like cut half of our set.
That's the fucking worst time. When your set is the one that gets cut, and usually any show, there's always that one band that somebody fucked up somewhere, so they get cut out of their set. And then you know, the next time you play a show with them, they're not going to be the nicest guys to you.
Yeah, we definitely, like, you know, had times where we had to cut songs short or whatever for whatever reason. I feel like we definitely try and practice to, like, have it pretty on point and whatnot. But, you know, and we're pretty adaptable to just, like, okay, like, which one, what are we feeling right now? Instead of, like, you know, you got to be on your toes to be able to adapt with that kind of thing, too, getting cut short.
Because it's kind of nice that, like, we're at a point now where we feel comfortable playing a 30-minute show or a two-hour show. So it's like, if somebody... Now, it's not... It sucks, because we always... You know, you always want to play a little longer, but now if someone's like, oh, hey, you guys got 15 minutes, and we have, like, 45 to an hour planned left, we can kind of pick and say, hey, let's do these on stage real quick.
I always make a rule. I open with my best, and I end with my second best.
Yep.
And I put all the bullshit in between.
Yep.
And hopefully, they'll stick in between all the bullshit, and it's good enough to just keep them on a dance floor or whatever. But it's always the best right off the bat, just to be like, oh my god, they're fucking talented, or whatever the case may be.
Like, this song,
and then the last song, so that they're like, you know what, they were good, I'll go check them out once more.
Yeah,
we definitely have a couple of that are just always the ending song, because like...
You just know you everyone's just sticking around for that one song, because it's
so what would you say your favorite cover tune is that you do as of right now?
That's tough.
We like to
turn like regular song, like old, like we like to cover like you know, oldies, or like even like Sabbath stuff, and make it reggae type.
Okay.
Yeah. Beatles is a good one. Man, I think my favorite, even though we don't reggaefy it, honestly, I think I have to say Electric Funeral is my favorite.
By far my most favorite Sabbath song of all time.
Oh, fuck yeah, man.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, we wanted to cover a Sabbath song, and we're kind of that, like, let's not play fucking Iron Man. Everyone knows Iron Man. So we kind of like to go for the deep cuts. Some people still know them, but, you know, the deep cuts a little bit more.
Well, and just the fact of, I mean, you guys all are probably 20s, I'm going to guess.
24.
So just the fact you're bringing up the song Electric Funeral for a 45-year-old guy that back in the day had that some bitch on a fucking vinyl. The shit right there, to hear that come out of young mouth. I love that shit. And that's kind of the fun thing about the podcast too, is I get to meet young bands. I get to see what influences these motherfuckers, you know? Is it still Hendrix? Is it still Clapton?
Of course.
You know?
Always.
You know? Like the last band that was in here, a lot of their influences was like the Dio era. And this girl was bringing up like Elf and Rainbow, and I about shit. She's 19 years old, and she's talking to me about Elf. I'm like, wow.
Like, holy shit.
So I find it really cool that you young guys are coming into it, and it makes it fun for me to do the podcast.
Because
I never know where any of you fucking bands are going to end up. One of you bands could end up the next goddamn Metallica, because the world never knows with the way that social media works yep. now and everything works. It's so easy to push your shit out there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's been one, I think, challenge, honestly, for us, because we are still, I mean, we're still young, but we're not quite into, like, I mean, we weren't born into all the smartphone stuff, at least, you know, because I was in 96. So, like, I remember not having a phone.
So you remember pagers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my folks had, you know, the huge Nokia phones, and, like, I could play Snake on their phone.
God, I love them phones.
Right? But going back to what you said about, like, influences, I think that's kind of interesting as well, because I've always found, well, since my parents are drum teachers by trade, you know, I just grew up listening. I mean, the Beatles are probably the number one reason why I started music in mm-hmm. the first place. But, you know, I grew up with Zeppelin, Sabbath, Floyd, The Doors, Jimi Hendrix.
Like the 70s, 60s, 70s era rock. For sure.
That was what I know I grew up with. I know you, though. You grew up with some different influences.
I more had which I'm glad I came to like meet you, because that is one I didn't like grow up listening to a ton, was the Beatles. But my dad definitely grew up a lot around Metallica and stuff like that. And I feel like that was like my first band I like knew existed, was like Metallica or Pantera, and then like Tool. And but then cool stuff, like we'd go to Moab all the time and like the Freddie Jones Band, you know, like kind of that kind of bigger band stuff. And then meeting him like opened up like the Beatles, and it's
same
like, wow.
for me.
So you grew know? Up yeah. with all like the same area I grew up, but then right. he brought in more of the 50s and 60s stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And I feel like Bryce yeah. and I kind of grew up with some of the same kind of music, because like I mean, how old are your folks?
I think they're about the same age as yours.
Yeah, mine are like mid-50s, I'm not sure. early 60s. I know, I don't want... we won't disclose it for them. But no, I definitely know, because Canyon said, for me, like meeting him and being a friend with him when we were, I think 13, something like that. He showed me like, because I'd heard Enter Sandman and I thought it was cool and all this shit. But he showed me, and his dad showed me, like, you know, Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets. And that just fucking, that changed my whole world. My whole, because right from that moment, I was bit by the metal bug. And then we mm-hmm. started going to see, you know, the Uproar tour and Avenged Sevenfold and like all this
That's
shit.
That's crazy. My upbringing, I was listening to a lot of Motley Crue, Twisted Sister, the hair bands, the glam stuff. And this chick from two roads up brings over Master of Puppets. And yeah.
My favorite.
If I would have known how to get my shit up and bend her over at that moment, she probably would have never fucking made it home.
That's probably my favorite Metallica album, I have to say.
It's definitely, I would say, an album that hooks any generation.
Yeah, it blasts you in the. I mean, you fucking put on Battery and you're like, what the fuck? I've never heard any fucking shit like
and,
this.
And
in my life.
The swell at the beginning, the way it swells. Really, if you're new to metal or thrash or that any of that genre, mm-hmm.
yeah,
and that swell, you don't know what you're in for until and then you're fucked. Right then, you're like, you might as well just took a blue chew or some shit. Right?
Yeah. Dude, yeah.
Oh.
Metallica's a great intro to that like heavier type of stuff, because I wasn't raised on that stuff at all.
What were you raised on?
Like my parents liked 80s like pop music and like Journey.
So like the Billy Joel, the Elton John, that type of shit.
Exactly. And they love the Beatles and stuff too, and I got to hear like a little bit of like Led Zeppelin and Hendrix and stuff, but they didn't go into that heavier stuff. But when I started to learn guitar, just like getting on the internet as a kid and like learning songs, I found Metallica and was like,
you're like
blown away.
So was that your first taste of metal?
Probably, yeah. It was Black Sabbath shortly after that, but Metallica was probably the first like heavier band I
definitely,
got into. And
definitely.
It was so fun to play on the guitar. I wanted
and it's
to
so hard,
shit.
Too. Yeah. So it's like when you learn it, you feel like you really accomplished something. And it mm-hmm. makes you a better player, because you're like, how the fuck is he picking so fast?
Yeah. Right,
all
right.
Down picking, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely Metallica is like big. I feel like anybody that like if they weren't raised on metal, like that's
especially
be one of their
a guitar
first
player,
bands they hear.
Especially a guitar player.
Yeah, for sure,
know?
For sure.
Like when you hear
so
those
do you
solos,
see that type of thrash and metal influencing your music down the line?
I honestly 100% do. I really yeah, like, do because cool even now we're working on an EP right now. And a lot of our stuff, our early EP is a little bit more reggae, but our stuff now, it almost, we almost, I don't even know how to really describe it. I don't like to put a genre
like
to it.
There's just bridges and like breakdowns and
I like to say heavy, like, I like to say stoner metal reggae is what I like to call us. Because it's like, I feel like we're, and we
so
always.
So like a degent Rastaman.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
But. Because, like, in the studio all the time, we always just fuck around and we'll just play, like, the ending of one and just... Or we'll just do a quick punk
beat.
So, will
your parents have, like, the music school and shit? Do you have good access for a nice quality studio at the same time?
We... Well, actually, we kind of don't, but...
Not from that. We learned a lot of stuff from that
program. Oh, definitely. Like, we learned how to play with people.
Just live.
How you need to sound, you know, how you're... What your levels need, you know, what you need, to, how you need
like
to act with a sound person.
And whatnot. And but as far as recording, my family, there's just a little warehouse they've got with some office space up to one side. And we basically turned the whole upstairs, like, office cubicle zone into a studio.
We hijacked
so,
it.
Yeah, like,
we hijacked it.
You know, much love to my grandparents, like having this spot, and they are super okay down for us to, you know, be able to play music somewhere. It's somewhere not surrounded by houses, so we can play all night. And
it's like a big warehouse
yeah.
district, pretty much.
That's the perfect.
It's
when you
nice,
can just
yeah.
jam and not worry about shit.
Right, and it's like there's no one there because it's yeah. like a storage warehouse. So it's like even when we are, it's because I know there's those places downtown where you go and there's like five other bands practicing
around you
in
and stuff. Yeah,
room.
And you, the shitty part about that is you'll be playing a riff. And a couple weeks later, you'll walk through and you'll hear
your fucking riff.
It'll be a little bit different, but you're like, damn cocksuckers. Like,
that's rough, man. I mean, riff. We've been lucky to have this space that's it's super nice. And we just accumulated over the years our own recording stuff, basically, you know, as far as an interface and speakers and mics and
so how many albums have you got out right now?
We just have our EP that came out in 2018 and then like two singles yeah. after that. Right now we're still recording like a second EP. And you know, we're not like super out to, I mean, it's awesome when you can put out a ton of music, but it's just, we do what we do. Like, you know, we love hanging out and just jamming and when it comes naturally, you know, basically. And the new stuff has been next level, so it's just
yeah, and the big
taking our time with
the
it
big
a
difference
bit more.
Is for the our first EP we completely did self complete like all self recording, self mixing, self mastering, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But this new EP we've made some money from playing shows and playing festivals and playing enough shows and saving up that we've been able to completely fund this EP project going into a professional studio. And he's actually a local guy out in Bountiful, Utah. And he's an awesome dude. Is he our age? He's 24?
He's like 25.
25 or something. But anyway, he's been able to like record and produce local musicians for a living, which is like pretty insane to me. Like yeah. he quit all of his day jobs and now he just does
hell
that
yeah.
for a living.
Super
right?
cool guy. Aggressive Audio. Shout out to
yes, Aggressive Audio.
Sure.
Flip Thurgood if you're ever looking
and they're,
for
and they're out of where?
Bountiful, Utah.
Do they have a website? Can we promote their website?
Yes,
what's
absolutely.
Their website?
I think it's just is it aggressiveaudio.com?
Yeah, they're on Instagram. Yeah, super talented guy. He's in a band as well, doing kind of metal stuff.
He's crazy, man. He's signed. He's sponsored by PRS
yeah,
guitars too,
got,
which is pretty crazy.
Guitars all
yeah.
over the walls.
So and he really knows his shit. I mean, he spent the last 5 or so years. I don't even know how long. It's probably been longer, but just studying engineering and studying. Mm-hmm. I mean, even his home built studio, it's built perfectly. It sounds amazing. aggressiveaudio.com. Yeah. Yeah, this guy's a badass, so
well,
shout out to Flip.
See? Now everybody will know where to go.
Exactly.
When yep. they want to record in Bountiful, Utah.
There you go.
So what do you guys see for your upcoming future? Do you have some shows planned, or what do you see within the next year?
Well, the COVID thing really was like, that sucked.
Kicked you in the fucking balls.
You know?
Kicked all of us in the nuts.
We were like going to be, like we were potentially getting set up to play at Park City Live with Soja and stuff. We like had this really good
they're a bigger reggae band in that kind of community. But that was, yeah, that it was like right before, it was like April after March last year.
Yeah.
We were supposed to play, open up Parks. This probably would have been the biggest show we've ever played. And, I mean, they were talking to us about
lights.
Have
you played in Park City before?
No.
I had an experience with a country band up there, and it was for a private party. And my guitar player was like, so everybody knows we're not getting paid. Well, I showed up a little teed off because I'm playing fucking cover tunes of country, you know, and it ain't fucking Metallica. It's Garth Brooks instead.
Yeah.
So I show up, and I'm well-feathered. I'm going to put on a show no matter what.
Right.
We probably made triple the amount that we would have gotten paid just off of tips from the people in Park City.
I believe it, man.
Wow. It was insane.
It. Oh,
the biggest
great.
Place we ended up playing was the Soundwell recently, and then we're playing there on April 30th again at the Soundwell,
yes,
which is like a super awesome venue.
So I tried to check that place out last night to go and connect with a band, and the band didn't let me know about tickets. Like, that's kind of on the band's fault. Show up, and the door guy was like, you have a ticket? I was like, no. He's like, even better. Right then, I knew these motherfuckers were going to charge me extra because I didn't have a ticket. So I think they were a little bummed out when they watched me walk the fuck away.
Yeah.
I was like, I got shit I can do at home. You know, I got a fucking Xbox I can play at home. I don't need to be here.
Right. And that was probably the most challenge. I think out of the shows we've done since COVID started, I think that one was probably the most challenging, getting info out, because while yes, they are like taking the COVID precautions and everything serious, it kind of comes at the cost of like, you need to buy two tickets beforehand. You need to do this and this beforehand. You need to do blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, and with any show you kind of get, you know, they usually aren't straight up with you what time you're playing till you get there, you know, but like it was just kind of all over the board. The dude promoting it told me a different time. But in the end, it was honestly, it was one
I
of
always
our,
tell my friends and family, if you come to see me play, you come support every fucking band on that bill.
Right? Oh, yeah.
You don't
just
come for me, because I'm not the only one that's talented in this goddamn city.
Right.
There's a whole slew of us, and everybody deserves a little bit of love, no matter who it is.
We're just trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, and that's something about Utah that I feel like... we don't have as much of like a music scene. There is a music scene, but like people won't go see like local bands, generally speaking. You know, it's not as
like
big
in
of a,
Cali or whatever. That's like a thing. Let's go see what local bands are playing tonight.
We're they say we're not church ran, but bullshit.
Right?
We are church ran, and that's kind of a lot of people who's thinking, well, I don't want to spend $10 to go see some local band where I don't know their music. Well,
right.
That's kind of the fun,
that's the same idea with
the podcast. Is here, you're going to find music that
Hidden
you
gems.
Ain't never heard anywhere. You can hop on Spotify and search for anything top 40. You're going to find it.
Right.
You come to a podcast like this, or you go to a local show, you're going to hear something that's completely unique and you've never heard before.
I love it, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. That is what is cool, is just to being able to stick around and make that, you know, also connection with other bands, where it's like, man, we should start doing more shows with you guys together too, you know. And
we definitely have learned a lot about that too, just from our experiences in individual bands, is learning, you know, like, I mean, honestly, I would wager to say half of our gigs were us sitting around doing nothing, and then another person who knew us or played with us before called us and said, we need a band. You know, hey, we need an opener, or we need a closer, or whatever, and we're like, we're there, let's go. And I think, like you said, kind of that ticket thing goes to like almost like reliability.
Yeah.
You know, because if a band knows or if a bar knows, they can call you the day before.
Yeah.
And you can come
and
in.
And it definitely, for me, it's more the band's responsibility than the club.
100%.
If you want somebody to come watch you perform, you make sure that them people know, hey, grab a ticket now, because right. when you come through the door, fuckers are going to jack yep. that charge double.
Yeah. Yep. We, back on the just like local music thing, going into it blindly, how gold that can be sometimes is Bryce and I went to, I don't know where you were, Bradshaw, but Bryce and I went down to Goldblood. So we had recently played there, and maybe we were just...
Does not exist anymore for anyone.
It was a small, local, little venue that got taken away from by, you know, COVID, and unfortunately. But anyway, we were going down there for whatever reason, and there was a show happening. We're like, let's just stick around for this show. And it's a super small place, like as big as this, you know, apartment almost kind of a feel. Just super small. And this guy named Dead Meat was playing, and we're like, let's see what's going on. And all of a sudden,
why the fuck would you want to call your band Dead
no,
Meat?
I don't know, but I mean,
you're not gonna get. Oh, hey, baby, I want to take you home. You and y'all, well, no, your Dead Meat.
He had girls, man.
It was like this.
How the fuck does that happen?
Maybe it's because he has so many girls.
The point of it
dead,
was like
so
he
it's
was
just Dead Meat.
He was mind-blowing, man. It was like such an interesting genre of music, but so we were just sucked into this, like he had this TV like projector visual going on and was very interactive with the crowd, and everybody was
so
like,
he was all about
the
entertainment side,
and he was right. like guiding these people, and they were like bow, like it was crazy.
Wow.
Man. And we were just like,
no, at one point he was like laying on the ground. And he was just like, get on the fucking ground, like everybody in the venue. And me and him were in the back. We didn't do it. But yeah, he had like a
you watched all
following.
The sponges follow and get on the,
on the ground.
You're like, what the fuck?
Yes,
is
daddy.
It was interesting.
Like,
he was like playing like
this
baby
Slipknot
footage.
Show?
Yeah, no, he's playing like footage of him as like a child on the TV. Like,
wow.
It was crazy, dude.
But it just makes you like shit
great,
like
though,
that.
Honestly.
It's like you see like. Even if it's not like, even if you're not gonna listen to that shit daily, you see an artist like that and you'll never forget that.
For
you're
sure.
like, I'll never forget Dead Meat at Goldblood.
I remember I lived with some friends, and they had a son that he just turned 21, and I took him to see OTEP.
Okay.
And one of the bands opening for OTEP was this two-piece. I can't remember their fucking name, but it was this guy and this gal, and he played the drums, and she played guitar and sing. They were fucking out of control, and at the end of the fucking set, this bitch dropped her guitar, leaped over the fucking drum kit into her old man's lap, and landed perfect while he fucking caught her. That kid's face, he about shit, wow. And he was in love with that band forever. He would look holy that shit up just because of some small, stupid stage thing.
Yeah, something right. weird like that, right. man. It's
And I think, like, growing up, I think one of my biggest influences was going to concerts. I mean, I've lost count. I wager to say I've been to well over 150 since I was, like, 8. Yeah.
So you've seen the big show. You played the little show. Oh, you've seen the little show. What do you prefer?
Man, I mean, the huge venues are amazing. Like, we saw Metallica in the big arena, and it's great. But, like, I mean, there's nothing like when you are at least, you know, pretty close to the band, and it's pretty intimate. I mean, that's just...
I think I prefer a big...
I think it's also nice that when they get done, you can sit down and be like, that shit was fucking slick. I like that shit, man. And then you can find out what they're about a little more.
Yeah, so grab it breaks up their that merch. Mystery veil of, like, God status, untouchable, right. And it's like, oh, right. They're a person like but me.
Right, instead of going out and getting on a bus, they're over at the bar getting a fucking beer because the singer can't fucking breathe. He's all...
right. Yeah. I'm just thinking of two different ends of the spectrum where it's like we saw Flowbots at Kilby Court, and they're, like, not a huge band or anything, but we got to, like, meet them after. But then, like, the band like Tool, where you see that, like, you can't... I wouldn't even know what to say if you... physically meet Tool. I mean, that's just like I'm there
probably.
To get sucked into a portal.
See, a guy like me, I just be like, oh, hey, well, what up, Maynard? You want to fucking get a shot? You know, can we roll a doobie? What right? the fuck?
See, I want to drink some of his wine.
Yeah, have some of your wine, please.
Like,
right.
Wine on
you know, the funny thing about Maynard is he comes from the old band Green Jelly.
Yes, I did know. I actually knew that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize that they're like, what band? What, the Little Pig Band?
And,
what?
Didn't Tom Morello play in Green Jelly as well?
It's very possible.
Because I know Tom Morello and Adam Jones from the guitar player from Tool were, like, in a band, or, like, they played together in Cali when they were, like, little kids. I mean, you know, like, 14-year-old punks. Like,
see, now, wouldn't it be cool to sit down and get their underground story?
Oh, my God. I would.
That group.
Yeah. If I did that, I could just be murdered.
That's why I had to start this, because, like I said, I never know where one of you bands are going to go. You never know where you're going to go. And it'd be really cool that if something cool happens with the band, to be able to go back and say, remember when we was on that little guy's fucking podcast?
Yeah. And now his podcast is the number one selling on Apple iTunes and Spotify. Now
that would be sweet.
Oh, man, it is.
So before we get out of here, let's throw out, where can we find your music?
We've got it everywhere. It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify, Apple Music.
But when you look it up, though, make sure you use the and sign, because we had this, right?
Ampersand,
yeah.
Does that come before or for the fear and?
Fear and ampersand. Loathing.
So yeah. Fear and sign, loathing.
Loathing, yes. You got it. Yes. Yep. And then, man, I mean, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We probably should start a group YouTube. But we actually do. We have one music video out on our YouTube channel. And my cousin, who's in, like, film school right now, was like, hey, I'll just film you guys. I'll come up with a thing. And we had some ideas. Yeah. But he was like, we'll just throw it together. And we showed up and shot it. But so that's on our YouTube.
New music coming soon as well.
Yes,
so
yes.
If you follow us on any of those things, there'll be new stuff very, very soon.
And make sure you check out our new song, Shape, which we've given you as well, because the song Shape is going to be part of our new EP. So that's our newest single, and that's with our newest producer. So that one probably, not that we don't love the old ones, but that one's probably the best quality that
we've
put out.
It's very hard to not love your new material.
Of course.
and wrap your arms around it a little more while you kind of shit out the old stuff.
Of course.
Well, guys, this has been awesome. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having us on, man. This has been fun as hell. Yeah, this is our first podcast we've done, and this is a blast.
So. This is all new for me as well. I've always wanted to do something with some type of broadcast stuff for. So this is really cool. It's not quite what I had originally idea, but this has turned out really awesome. I've already met some really fucking cool bands.
Hell yeah.
And I've got to hear all kinds of new music, and that's really what it's about. I want to lead people into something that they've never heard before.
Yeah, this is important. It's really cool to have people doing this like sort of thing in Salt Lake. Like we're super stoked.
It kind of gets bands everyone together because we're all trying to do the same thing. You know, we're all trying to make it. You know, and even if you're not trying to make it, you're just trying to, you know, make a living playing in gigs. It's like we're all here to do the same thing, man. You got my back, I got your back, you know.
Right. To me it's all music, you know.
Right.
I've done metal, I've done country.
Yep.
Right now I want to do a metal rap thing. I want to mix my country with metal.
Awesome. Death grips like, type.
I want to mix a horse and a cow. Let them bang their balls together and see what comes out of it.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that.
Yes, that is what happened.
Well, guys, it's been awesome. Once again, thanks for coming, man.
Thank you, man. I wanted to ask where we could find listening to your podcast and whatnot.
You can find my podcast, KEVL Radio Podcast, on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, all of the major platforms where you can find any podcast.
Yeah. Perfect.
So obviously, if you're listening to this podcast right now, you know where the hell to find this shit.
I wanted to know. Dude, I appreciate it, man. It's been a pleasure.
And I always give every band a link. I let them know what day your episode will be coming out. So all that stuff.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you, man.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure meeting you.
So there we have Fear and Loathing. What a great group of guys. I had a great time hanging out with these guys and hearing about their story. Definitely one of the bands I'm going to make sure I check out as soon as I see that they have a show. Now coming up next week on KEVL, another band that I've been around for a long time. They're called Arsenic Addiction. They're out of Salt Lake City, Utah. They got a nice metal-y goth feel to them. I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. So make sure you're hitting that like button, the subscribe button, and if you want to reach out to us, feel free to on Facebook. Just look us up, KEVL Radio Podcast. Shoot us a message. If you know of a band that you would like to see on here, shoot us a message. And obviously, if you play in a band, we definitely want you to shoot us a message. We don't care if you're metal. We don't care if you're reggae, hip-hop, country. We just want to sit down with the underground music talent around this nation. And with that being said, we'll see you next week right here on KEVL. And remember, if it's underground, we want to dig it up.